The scripture reading for this morning really isn't connected to the message itself, but it is connected to the times that we're in. It is the 46th Psalm. It says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Many of you, I am sure, remember this VeggieTales song.
God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla or the monsters on TV. Oh, God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's watching out for you and me.
Our boogeyman right now is only about 120 nanometers. Now, please don't get me wrong. When I say boogeyman, it doesn't mean I think it's fake or to be dismissed like the monster under the bed. It is very real. It is very dangerous for at-risk people. It is causing real anxiety, fear, and anger. The fears are not only that one might contract the disease. For many, the financial fears are far greater than the fear of getting sick. People have seen thousands drained from their investments. Many people or their spouses are out of work or had their hours cut. Small businesses are in danger of not being able to survive this. Some see government officials as overstepping their authority. Others say the government isn't doing enough. I'm not panicked over this, but I am concerned. We need to be wise, but I'm not panicked. However, let me share this experience. On Monday, I had a doctor's appointment. After the appointment, I went to the Walmart in North Topeka to pick up two things. All right, two things were on my list. I walked out with half a cart of stuff. How did that happen? I saw the aisles that were barely stocked. Now, we know they were out of Clorox wipes and hand sanitizer and toilet paper. But as I was going up and down the aisle, I saw the other things they were out of. There was no rice. There was no dry beans. There was no oatmeal. The canned vegetables and fruits were picked over. Frozen meals, frozen vegetables, and pizzas were scarce. Now, we weren't out of these things, but something takes over in the mind. I don't need vegetables, but what if they don't have them when I run out? And so it was like, six bags of frozen green beans went in the cart. Don't judge me. I don't need eggs, but they have some, so I better get a thing of them. There was no Bisquick, and there was only one box of Jiffy Mix. I got it. Three thin crust, all meat frozen pizzas were left. That was it. I got them. There's still bread on the shelf. I better get it now, or I may never eat bread again. There was no bagged cereal left. I know how folks are thinking. My 401k is shot, but I have 250 rolls of toilet paper. I got home and self-analyzed. I chastised myself for doing that. I consider myself pretty level-headed. Like I said, I'm not panicking. But for that short time, what if took over? Now, it's all the stuff we will eat anyway. I didn't go crazy. It's not like I got 5 cases of Brussels sprouts because that's all that was left. But I did find it interesting there were plenty of Twinkies and Hostess cupcakes on the shelves. See, I get that there is something in the air that is palpable, intense, and spreading, and I'm not talking about the virus. I'm talking about the fear and anxiety that we are experiencing as a nation. Like I said earlier, the greatest fear is not the virus itself, but the consequences it has on our future. However those consequences may turn out to be, God is bigger. We serve a big God. And see, this is where I would hear Wayne sitting up front saying, amen, or that's right. I want to encourage you today, brothers and sisters. Christians, that's what we are. We are the family of God. We are adopted as sons and daughters. And our daddy in heaven is bigger than anything this world or the devil can throw at us. As Jesus' people, we are not to be ruled by fear. But it doesn't mean we won't maybe falter a bit or let our guard down or get just a little panicky at times. But we come back to Jesus. He said, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Students, I know many are upset because some will miss prom or graduation or baseball or softball. You miss your friends. This is temporary. Try not to be afraid or anxious. Trust in God. Parents have questions about how school is going to work out. How will the bills get paid if one or both of us aren't working? What if I run out of toilet paper? We need to keep it light a little bit, right? God is bigger than all that. He knows what you need. He'll provide. And Christians, that may be through each other, as this situation teaches us a little bit about how to live like that first century church did. I know there are fears, concerns, worries, and I don't want to belittle them or make light of what everyone is going through. But I want to encourage you with the truth that God is bigger. The angel of death had just killed the firstborn of all Egypt. The Hebrews had plundered the Egyptians of their riches and were marching toward the promised land when Pharaoh changed his mind. The most advanced army in the world at that time was bearing down on these Israelites, who had been slaves for 400 years. They were pinned against the Red Sea with nowhere to go, and they wailed, Moses, you brought us out here to die. We were better off as slaves. We're all going to die. God is bigger. The angel of God, along with a pillar of cloud, went behind the Israelites and kept Pharaoh's army from them. And God then did a big thing. He split the Red Sea, and probably 2 million Jewish people walked across to safety on dry ground. Then God allowed the enemy to follow them. And when the Israelites were safely across, he released the waters, and Pharaoh's army drowned in the sea. They thought their world was over when their back was against the wall. God is bigger, and he delivered them. And maybe right now you feel like your back is against the wall. Things are compounding. I get it. There were car problems on top of health issues, along with financial worries and home repairs. And maybe they were already causing stress in your life. And then this little bitty virus comes along and it feels like the last straw. God, did you just bring us out here to die? No. Let me tell you that God is bigger. He has your back protected and he is making a way for you to go forward. You follow him and he will never lead you where you shouldn't be. It was time to enter the promised land. But near the edge of the land was an obstacle, Jericho, with its mighty warriors of valor and its mighty walls of protection. God told them to march around the city once a day for 6 days with the Ark of the Covenant. What? That's not how you break down an enemy stronghold. On the seventh day, they were to march seven times. And when the priests blew their trumpets, the walls came crashing down. How do you break the enemy's stronghold? You obey God. What he told them to do seems silly, like it wasn't logical, but it was the command of God, and Joshua, as their leader, obeyed God, and God gave them a huge big victory. God was bigger than the wall. Maybe after a week or so of isolation, the walls of your house seem like they are huge and closing in on you. God's bigger than that. Maybe he's giving us an opportunity to be families again, to work together, to see what's important. Maybe it's a good time to dig back into the Bible, start some family devotions, pray together, obey God, and you will find he is bigger than any wall you face. A young teen is taking a snack to his brothers on the front lines of the war between the Israelites and the Philistines. And he sees there is this loudmouthed giant who defies the army of the God of Israel. And he asks, why are you letting him get away with that? And his brothers, and I'm paraphrasing it, say, get lost, you pipsqueak. Look at him. He's 9 feet tall, at least, literally. The head of his spear alone weighs 15 pounds. His armor comes in at 125 pounds. It is conceivable that this shepherd boy didn't weigh as much as the giant's armor. You know the boy was David. And his attitude was, sure, Goliath is bigger than I am, but my God is bigger than he is, and he will bring me the victory. David said, the Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. And David felled Goliath with the first stone from his slingshot. And Goliath's own sword was used to cut off his head. Right now, everything coming against us seems like a giant. The stock market took a giant hit. Giant corporations are temporarily shutting down. Giant governments are at risk of overstepping their constitutional authority. God is bigger, and he will deliver you. Just have the faith of a shepherd boy. All Daniel was doing was faithfully obeying God. His enemies had tricked Darius into passing a law that made it illegal to pray to anyone but the king on penalty of death. Then they waited. Now, Daniel prayed to God faithfully 3 times a day. In spite of this law, he obeyed God, and he went into his room to pray just like he had always done. And those who were against him tattled to King Darius, and Darius had no choice but to send Daniel to the execution method of that day, which was a den of hungry lions. Darius was upset that this had happened. He liked Daniel, but he still had to carry out the sentence. And he told Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. The king couldn't sleep all night. He ran to the entrance of the den. First thing in the morning, Daniel, did your God save you? Daniel said that my God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths. And they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm. Right now, many feel like the circumstances are kind of like hungry lions, just waiting to tear them apart. I love Romans 8:31. What shall we say to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Christians, you have the creator of the universe and 2/3 of the angels on your side. God is bigger. I could go on forever with New Testament accounts of God's power delivering people from impossible situations. Elijah, Elisha, King David, Jonah, Deborah, Jacob, Esther, Ruth. When God's people face big challenges and big dangers, God is bigger. In Jesus' day, there was a death sentence that scared everyone. It was one of the first things I thought of when I thought about what we're going through now, and that death sentence was leprosy. Today, what we think about when we think of lepers in the Bible is known as Hansen's disease, and it's curable. But in Jesus' day, it wasn't. If you don't like social isolation right now, you've got nothing on the lepers of Jesus' day. They weren't simply socially isolated. They were social outcasts for life. That's really what leprosy was. It was a life sentence, and it was a death sentence. It was like part of the walking dead. Leprosy is caused by a bacteria, but they didn't know about bacteriology or virology in Jesus' day. It caused a yellow or brownish skin lesion, a general thickening of the skin, especially on the face and the ears. It affected the skin, the mucous membranes, the upper respiratory tracts, and the nerves. The nerve damage would lead to muscle weakness and loss of feeling, even disintegration in the bones of the toes and the fingers, and your facial features as well. The leprosy itself probably wouldn't kill you, but a secondary infection because of your weakened state probably would. It was a slow process, and you could have it for years before you died. After years of the disease, one would look disfigured and deformed. The social distancing, well, you had to stay way back. Okay, not 6 feet. You had to stay like 150 feet back from others. You were required to dress shabbily and remain unkempt, so when people looked at you, they would know there was something wrong, that you were a leper. And just in case they didn't have it figured out yet, you had to shout out, "Unclean!" whenever you came even remotely close to somebody. Your only social contact would be with other lepers. For those who are worried about finances right now, think about the leper who had no way to earn a living. For those who are anxious because they can't get toilet paper, the leper couldn't go into the marketplace and buy anything. For those who are chafing under the constraints of social separation, the leper couldn't even live with his own family, unless, of course, they also had contracted the disease. They were forced to live in colonies outside the city. For those who right now miss being here, being in church, seeing your friends and your brothers and sisters, who miss handshakes and hugs, the leper was separated from the temple. They were considered unclean by the religious authorities, and the stigma that came with that is that they were considered to be out of favor with God and unloved by God. I imagine the emotion of the first century leper was complete and utter hopelessness. When people lost all hope, there was this guy. They may have thought of him as the last chance, but really he should be the first one we run to. In Matthew 8, Jesus had come down from the mountain where he gave the Sermon on the Mount, and there were crowds all around him. And a leper was breaking all the rules. He came up to Jesus, he just walked into the crowd. Talk about your social distancing. I'll bet that crowd parted like the Red Sea as he broke all those rules and walked right up to Jesus. And he says in Matthew 8, 2, a leper came to him and knelt before him saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus did something no one else would do. He touched him. When a disease invaded your life like that, it destroyed you. But Jesus invaded the disease, and he destroyed it. Jesus is bigger than leprosy. He's bigger than our virus situation. And while he may not fix it the way we want, if you will go to him in faith, he will touch your life. Christ has made available to his children an abundant peace and joy that is only found through faith in him. Ephesians 2:12 says that we were at one time separated from Christ, okay? Isolation. We were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. When people didn't know what else to do, they turned to Jesus. A woman with a bleeding problem for 12 years, Jesus healed her. A man whose 12-year-old daughter had died, Jesus brought her back to life. People whose lives had been invaded by demons were cleansed. The blind were given their sight. The deaf could hear. The lame could walk. Realize that Jesus is bigger and stronger and more powerful than anything they were dealing with. We all had problems, fears, anxieties before this stuff ever came along today. This is on top of what we were dealing with before, compounding our stress, and it looks like this outbreak is going to make all our other problems worse. That's a reality for all of us. It is truly an emotional roller coaster that we are going through. But I repeat Jesus' words, trust in God, trust also in me. My peace I leave with you. Let not your hearts be troubled, nor let them be afraid. See, in the midst of all this, the world has a bigger problem. It's our sin problem. I heard a story secondhand about a man, and this is right here in Kansas, a man who had left a store and he found a little old lady lying on the ground by her car. Someone had pushed her down while she was loading her groceries and had stolen her water and left her there. You see, this situation hasn't altered our sin problem. I was in Dollar General the other day. They had gotten toilet paper in. The man behind me had several packages of this newly shelved toilet paper. And he said to the checker, "I'm not hoarding, I promise." Well, I think that was probably a lie. There's a sin. She told him that there were limits on the toilet paper. You could either get two small packages or one big package. And he got upset. He got angry. Well, there's a sin. And so he really snottily asked, "What, per transaction?" You see where he's going, right? He's thinking he could buy his package of toilet paper, go put it in the car, come back in, buy another one, go put it in the car, come back in. She says, "No, I just won't sell you anymore, period." And he walks out in a huff with his one package of toilet paper. See, social isolation doesn't stop our sin problem. The sins may be different, but we still have the problem. And it is a bigger problem than anything we are facing in this world. This virus will end. This world may be different afterward, but it will end. There'll be new problems in the future. Sin is a problem that doesn't go away. All have the problem, and the problem leads to death, and it's eternal death. We are in a time of isolation right now. For what? 2 weeks? A month? Who knows? Think about being eternally isolated from God, eternally separated from God, forever social isolation, if you will. That is the universal consequences of our sin. This virus is kind of a picture of sin. See, we can heed the warnings and be safe, or we can ignore the warnings and be at risk. We need to heed the warning in God's word and turn from sin and turn to Jesus. And if we ignore the warnings to repent and come to him in faith, we will go to our grave with an incurable sin sickness. But Jesus is bigger than our sin. He paid the debt when he died on the cross. He proved he was bigger than sin and even death when he rose from the dead. He is the cure for what truly ails this world. The Bible says if we will draw near to him, he will draw near to us. He is big enough and his love knows no boundaries. Romans 8, 37 to 39 says, "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels or rulers, nor things in the present or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Three teenagers had been captured and taken to a strange country. There, They were faced with strange customs, strange food, the uncertainty of perhaps being considered an enemy in a foreign land. Yet they trusted God and he prospered them in their scary circumstances. Now the ruler of this country made a law that would force them to violate their faith in God. And if they obeyed the leader, it would be a sin against God. You probably recognize the three teens are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the king is Nebuchadnezzar. The king made a huge golden statue. And when all the instruments were played, everyone, no matter what they were doing, you drop it, you bow down, and you worship this golden idol. Anyone who disobeyed would be thrown alive into a fiery furnace. The three young men refused. They were in a scary time anyway, an uncertain time, and all of a sudden things got even more real and even worse. Nebuchadnezzar found out about them, and in a rage, he had them brought before him. Is it true? Is it true? Listen up, I'm giving you one more chance. We're going to play the music. If you just bow down and worship that idol, I'll forget about all this. But if you don't, there is not a God in this world big enough to save you from the fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I wonder if their tone of voice was just kind of like, you just don't get it. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. They refused to bow down to the idol. The furious king fired up the furnace 7 times hotter than normal. His guards tied the three young men up to throw them into the furnace. And it was so hot, the guards died in the act of throwing them in. The fire burned off their ropes. Yet the three were unharmed. Not only that, the king, in amazement, said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and one of them looks like a son of the gods. God is bigger than any fire we are facing today. I want to challenge you. Right now, we are being ruled by what if. What if this happens? What if that happens? And it leads us to fear and worry. And my challenge to you is to change what if to even if. Being a Christian is no guarantee we won't be hurt by this. Christians die in car wrecks, they get cancer, they go bankrupt. The difference is we know this life is temporary and Jesus is preparing an eternal dwelling for us. And so we don't want to live in the what if. We live in the even if. Even if more people die from this, I will trust God. Even if we are hurt financially, I know God will provide. Even if it seems like the world is crashing down on me, I know that God is bigger than anything this world has or anything the devil can throw at me. So don't worry about what you don't have. Be thankful for what you do have. Don't complain about what you're missing out on. But find contentment in having more time to spend with your family and maybe learning some new things and spending more time with the Lord. Be wise about where you go and what you do. Be generous if the opportunity arises. Check on your friends and neighbors. Show them the love of Christ and the assurance you have through your faith in him. Be the church. Jeremiah 32:27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Matthew 19, Jesus said, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. So do not let your hearts be troubled. Have a bigger faith and a bigger God. Let's pray. Father, we acknowledge that you are big and you are powerful and you are mighty. But God, you are good. You are loving. And you want us to come to be with you and be in your family. Lord, if there is someone that heard this message today and needs to make a decision, Lord, I just pray that they would get a hold of a Christian, get a hold of me, get a hold of anybody to lead them into making that decision. Lord, in this situation, we can give thanks because you have forced us into a communication with technology where we can reach out to so many people and tell them about you. So, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your power and your strength. And we pray your protection on your people. We pray for the good of our nation. We pray for your church. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.